This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Less than a month after Vermont's GMO labeling law went into effect, the U.S. Senate and House sped through the votes on a federal GMO labeling bill. Both chambers of Congress voted to pass the bill over the objections of some Democrats that it would undermine popular consumer desires for clear labels identifying genetically modified ingredients on their food. Despite this opposition from Democrats, President Obama is expected to sign the bill into law and may have already done so by the time this program goes to air. Critics are denouncing the federal labeling law as a giveaway to big agribusinesses and food manufacturers like Monsanto and Walmart. Rather than simply labeling foods as GMO-free or not, the bill allows food companies to place things like QR codes on products, which would require consumers to scan those codes with smartphones in order to decipher the labels. The bill, which many are calling the Dark Act, will also allow the industry to define what constitutes a genetically modified organism. Joining me is Rebecca Spector. She is the West Coast Director at the Center for Food Safety. We had spoken with her in late June about this bill. Now she joins us for a follow-up. Welcome back to the program, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me.
So the last time we spoke, we went through what Vermont's bill would look like. It was on the verge of that bill going into effect. Before we get into the federal bill, did Vermont's bill actually go into effect to the point where it's that the manufacturers are changing their labels or have begun changing their labels for the Vermont consumer, for Vermont consumers?
Yes, the law did go into effect in Vermont on July 1st, and we've gotten dozens of photographs from our members in Vermont showing us labels that say produced using genetic engineering. And we're also seeing those products show up in California. So a lot of the multinational companies like Campbell's and Mars are labeling their products in Vermont and also in other states. So that's great news.
So then, of course, Vermont's train has left the station and Congress is attempting to halt that train. We spoke a little bit about this bill last time as well. And as I mentioned, a lot of groups, including yours, are calling it the Dark Act because of the darkness that it really actually casts on labeling. How fast did this bill pass? It seems as though it was kind of sped through committees in the House and the Senate.
Absolutely. It moved through very quickly. The Senate passed the bill and then it went immediately to the House, and the House just passed it today. So the goal, I think, has been to do this deal behind closed doors. There was no opportunity for public hearings on this. There was very limited debate about it in Congress. And they've pushed it through very quickly, primarily to preempt the Vermont law before Congress goes out of session for the rest of the summer.
Who was involved in pushing this law and even frankly writing it? The Grocery Manufacturers Association, I understand, had a lot to do with the bill itself?
From what we're hearing, certainly industry was consulted on the bill. We don't know exactly who. But one major thing they did in the bill, and you and I talked about this last time, is they changed the definition of genetic engineering. And that's really one of the most damaging things about this bill, is it would really narrow what products are covered under this bill because it narrows the definition of genetic engineering. So we have to assume that that definition came from the biotech industry or from GMA.
And so rather than fighting what seems to be a losing battle against labeling, it seems as though manufacturers thought, well, if we just change what we call GMO, then we can label accordingly. Do you know exactly what they consider GMO versus what, scientists might consider GMO?
Well, they were very clever in how they did it, but I think for most members of Congress who aren't going to know these scientific definitions, the bill seems like it covers genetically engineered products. They're not going to know the in and outs of the definition. So I think it was a really sneaky way to pass a bill that really has no teeth.
So basically, there could be foods that are marked GMO-free that do have ingredients that were previously considered genetically modified as per the rules, if you will. Actually, there weren't really federal rules. But I do understand that the idea of organic certification excludes GMOs, right? That we do have fairly strict standards of what constitutes organic food. And if something is to be labeled organic, it's not just about being pesticide-free. It also can't be genetically modified. So there's that.
So currently under the National Organic Foods Act, that is the case. So there is an accurate definition of genetic engineering in that law currently. And so organic products cannot be produced using genetic engineering. Now that doesn't mean they're GMO free, but they're produced without genetic engineering. Now under the new legislation, the law states that the government needs to look at to harmonize other laws with this law. So what that could mean is that the USDA, US Department of Agriculture, could go back to the organic law and change the definition of genetic engineering in that law to make it consistent with the definition in the new legislation, which is we just talked about, is much weaker. This is a real danger to organic, and we're very disappointed that some of our colleagues in the organic community supported the bill, like the Organic Trade Association, not really understanding perhaps the implications of this law.
Wow. So this bill that Congress has passed could weaken another law on the books that has basically given consumers information about the food they eat. That's remarkable. Now, some Democrats, Bernie Sanders, even Barbara Boxer, prominent senators and congressmen and women have come out against the bill, and rightly so, it seems. But President Obama, who has the power to simply veto this bill, has actually indicated he will sign it. In fact, Katie Hill, White House spokesperson, said, "While there is broad consensus that foods from genetically engineered crops are safe, we appreciate the bipartisan effort to address consumers' interests in knowing more about their food, including whether it includes ingredients from genetically engineered crops. We look forward to tracking its progress in the House and anticipate the president would sign it in its current form." Why does President Obama feel the need to sign this bill? Does he not get it? I mean, he is a lame duck president. He's just finishing out his term. Who does he have to, you know, sort of have political allegiance to?
I think there's been a lot of political spin about what this bill does versus what it really does. So I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and we're concerned that he is not getting proper information. That being said, there's a huge campaign this week, people sending President Obama letters, including Jesse Jackson, who just sent a letter to President Obama today asking him to veto the bill because of the discriminatory nature of the bill. So there's a lot of pressure going to the White House right now asking President Obama to veto this bill because of the discriminatory aspects of the bill and some of the other issues with it.
Yes, let's talk about those discriminatory aspects. I'm assuming you're talking about the fact that the bill allows, if it were to become law, would allow companies to embed the information on their products in the form of QR codes, which basically means you need a smartphone to decipher them, right?
Correct. Yeah, and as we know, 50% of rural Americans, 50% of low-income Americans actually own a smartphone, and a lot of those people are in and out of their service contracts. So it's really discriminatory against millions of people in this country, low-income, rural, and elderly.
And as we talked last time on the program, it just blows my mind that they would take information that is meant for the public and put it into a code that you need to decipher with, using a phone to decipher with the very same space and ink they use to print that code could simply say it contains GMO or is GMO free.
Right.
So, I mean, it just seems like such an obvious obstacle to information. What would it mean for Vermont? That is the huge question now. Does this bill, if Obama signs into law, which he might do but by the time this program airs, does it mean Vermont's GMO bill is no longer valid?
Yes, it would preempt the Vermont law and means the law is no longer valid. That being said, it's not clear that some of the companies that are already labeling their products, they may be able to keep those products on the shelf. So it's not clear that it will prohibit companies that are already labeling, such as Campbell's and Mars, who have said they plan on keeping these labels on their products, even if this bill passes into law. So the other companies will not have to comply with the law, but companies that currently are can, we think, can continue to do so.
What is this federal law bill, rather, if it becomes law, what would it mean for other states? I mean, is this the end of the line, barring, you know, a lawsuit that goes to the Supreme Court? Is it the end of the line for states wanting to pass their own bills like Vermont's? I mean, what happened to the idea of states' rights, by the way, Republican Party?
Exactly. Unfortunately, yes. So if there's federal law that has oversight over a particular issue, then states are not able to pass laws above and beyond that. So this would prevent other states from passing laws related to labeling of genetically engineered foods. And right, on the states' rights issue, we've been pushing that very hard with Republicans in the House and the Senate. And the other thing that this bill does is, and some of the language in it suggests that it could preempt other state laws, not just laws about genetically engineered, labeling of genetically engineered foods. In fact, our legal team at Center for Food Safety, we've come up with a list of nearly 100 laws that this bill could preempt and make null and void if the bill gets passed into law. So that is something we've been pushing really hard with Republicans and others concerned about states' rights. Unfortunately, that message hasn't seemed to have gone through.
So what will President Obama do is the big question right now. It's possible he could sign the bill, as his spokesperson has indicated. It's possible he might get better information. What's the window of opportunity that people have to, you know, to influence President Obama?
He has 10 days, not including Sunday, to either sign the bill and make it into law, or it's unusual because Congress will be out of session starting on Friday, so their summer recess starts after Friday. Because of that, if President Obama does nothing in the next 10 days, it's actually a pocket veto, which means the bill does not go into effect. So we actually, this is a really unique opportunity right now. President Obama can actually do nothing and the bill would be vetoed. So that's sort of our best case scenario right now, is that President Obama gets enough pressure that he doesn't sign it into law, but he doesn't technically veto it. It just, he doesn't do anything. And then that actually turns into a veto because Congress will be out of session.
So I understand that your organization, the Center for Food Safety, has a petition that the public can sign to add to that public pressure of Obama.
Absolutely. We're asking for people to call into the White House and to sign the petition asking President Obama to veto this bad legislation. And we have 10 days to pressure him.
Now, I asked you about Vermont's bill and any future state bills. I understand that there are several bills in several states in the works for GMO labeling to sort of follow what Vermont did. I can imagine that activists there must be crushed, or at least just really having a, you know, collective crossing of fingers again, you know, hoping that Obama doesn't sign this. Are people basically putting their efforts on hold, waiting with bated breath to see what Obama does?
Yeah, I mean, it's in particular, it's incredibly disappointing for Vermont, in addition to Connecticut and Maine, and those states have also passed bills that will require the labeling of GE foods if other states pass similar laws in the Northeast. So Connecticut and Maine, in addition to Vermont, all of the farmers and activists that have been working on this issue are incredibly disappointed. And then there are other states as well, like New York and Massachusetts and Rhode Island, that have been working really hard to get legislation passed. And there's a lot of disappointment in the community right now.
Right. And just to be clear, the federal bill is being touted as a bill in response to consumer concerns about GMO labeling, because poll after poll has shown that there's huge support, massive, almost overwhelming support among the public to have GMOs labeled in their food. And this bill, using that desire, is actually doing in many ways the opposite.
I think that's true. I mean, this really is a bait and switch for consumers. It actually prevents them from knowing if their food is produced using genetic engineering. And it sets up a really bad precedent for food labeling. There's no other food labeling legal requirement at the federal level that has this mishmash of options. Usually, always, nutritional information that is regulated by the federal government is consistent. You look at the label, you know exactly where to look to see how many calories there are, how many fats there are. This would allow maybe a QR code, maybe an 800 number, maybe text. A consumer has no way of knowing what to look for. And on top of that, as we discussed, most of the products that are genetically engineered won't even be included in that. It's really a huge failure at the level of Congress to pass such an irresponsible bill.
Rebecca, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website for your organization.
Sure, centerforfoodsafety.org.
And we'll post a link to that as well. That's where you can find the petition that the Center for Food Safety has put up to President Obama. Thanks so much, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me.
Rebecca Spector is the West Coast Director at the Center for Food Safety. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.